Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is October 1, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments in fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Longfin must pay $6.8 million after court backs SEC fraud complaint. Russian nuclear scientist gets $7,000 fine for mining Bitcoin at work. JP Morgan, Intel alums launch revenue sharing stablecoin USDD. Crypto investors KR1 thank Cosmos Network for $5.6 million profit in H1 2019. Fintech startup Rapid raises $100 million for cloud-based payment platform. Instadap DeFi site raises $2.4 million from prominent crypto investors. South Korean court issues landmark decision on crypto exchange hacking. Ethereum name service auction exploited to grab Apple domain and it can't be undone. Trading volume for backed Bitcoin futures hit just $5 million in first week. Crypto escrow firm chief charged over alleged $7 million fraud. UK police auction off $294,000 in stolen crypto from AthaDelta hack. Stripe-backed payments firm raises $100 million to compete against stablecoins. Ethereum scaling project Scale raises $17.1 million for mainnet launch. Crypto token HBAR is tanking and Hedera Hashgraph is looking for a fix. Now let's get started. Longfin must pay $6.8 million after court backs SEC fraud complaint. Fintech firm Longfin Corp. has been ordered to pay almost $6.8 million after a court-backed charges brought by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) that it committed fraud relating to its public offering and NASDAQ listing. An SEC announcement on Monday indicated that the District Court for the Southern District of New York entered a default judgment against Longfin, ordering the firm to repay $3,532,235 all the proceeds raised in Longfin's 2017 Regulation A+ offering, plus interest. The company has also been fined $3,243,613. The SEC claimed in June that Longfin and its CEO, Venkata S. Meenavalli, had falsely stated in an application to the SEC for the offering that the company was largely managed and operated in the U.S. when that was not actually the case. They also gave away over 400,000 Longfin shares to insiders and affiliates, allowing them to fake the number of qualifying shareholders and shares sold in the offering to pass the threshold for listing on NASDAQ. The SEC also claimed that Longfin and Meenavalli fabricated $66 million in revenue from sham commodities transaction, a sum that represented over 90% of the firm's total reported revenue for 2017. The case is still ongoing, according to the regulator, as is a related criminal action brought by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of New Jersey. The SEC said it will set up a fair fund to refund harmed Longfin investors with the money returned by Longfin. The company voluntarily delisted from NASDAQ in May 2018 and shut down in November 2018. Russian nuclear scientist gets $7,000 fine for mining Bitcoin at work. One of three scientists caught illegally Bitcoin mining at a Russian nuclear lab has been fined 450,000 rubles, or $7,000. As reported in the Moscow Times Tuesday, Denis Baykov was handed the penalty by a jurisdictional city court for accessing the lab's supercomputer to illegally mine the world's top cryptocurrency by market valuation. Located in Sarov, Russia, the top secret lab was where the first Soviet nuclear bombs were manufactured in the late 1940s. It remains home to some of Russia's most powerful computers. The mining trio was first exposed last February and promptly handed over to the Federal Security Service. Using the proof-of-work consensus mechanism, Bitcoin harnesses miners to record transactions and secure the blockchain with powerful energy-intensive computers. Mining power is measured in hashes per second. According to today's report, Baikov, along with the two other lab employees, used specially designed software to mask mining on the lab's computer, which can conduct transactions up to 1,000 trillion operations per second, or one petaflop. Hashes per second do not translate into operations per second, however. With the price of Bitcoin sitting around $8,000 per coin, one of the three employees' lawyers, Alexei Kovalyov, hinted at the fine being very small compared to the probable payoff. I can say one thing for sure, they were not detained on the first day they began to mine. Court verdicts for the other two scientists have not yet been reached. JP Morgan, Intel alums launch revenue-sharing stablecoin USDD. Former employees of JP Morgan, Intel and TrustToken have unveiled a dollar-backed stablecoin with a twist, revenue sharing for the institutions that use it. Their new company, Global Currency Organization, GCO, developed the USD Digital, USDD, token. It aims to break through with exchanges, traders and OTC desks looking for a stablecoin product but unwilling to develop one themselves. A novel 50-50 revenue-sharing model incentivizes that adoption, GCO says, and USDD's placement on the Ethereum blockchain provides users with transparency. It's the best of both worlds, said CEO Joe Velenikarin. They get the stablecoin, and they get the revenue that GCO shares with them. Velenikarin began working on stablecoins at TrustToken as a general manager for the San Francisco firm's TrueUSD token also pegged to the dollar. He recognized the value stablecoins brought to institutional investors and individuals, especially in moving money across markets. Backing the tokens with USD brought more stability and trust. Let's say you're a Japanese student living in the US and you want your parents to send you funds, Velenikarin told CoinDesk. With the current process, you'd either need a US bank account or be subjected to long delays and conversion fees. With our stablecoin, you should be able to receive your funds in a matter of days. Velenikarin wants to expedite a worldwide adoption of blockchain-based currencies, which he said will come about in the next 10 to 20 years. But that global shift will only come with institutional support, he said. For a company to emerge and help move all these dollars to the blockchain, we really have to open it up to the partners who want to use stablecoins, he said, adding, that's what we think we can do through revenue sharing. Crypto investors KR1 thank Cosmos Network for $5.6 million profit in H1 2019. European digital asset investment firm KR1 posted a $5.6 million profit for the half year ending on June 30, 2019, mainly due to the launch of Cosmos Network. High returns from bull market in H1 2019. In an interim report published on Bloomberg on September 30, KR1 CEO George McDonough emphasized that the firm's portfolio surged in value in the H1 2019 as Bitcoin, BTC, bounced off a low of $3,200 in late 2018 to over $13,000 in mid-2019. According to the report, the company's profit in the H1 2019 accounted for $4,567,975, which was primarily driven by the successful launch of the Cosmos Network, considered to be one of KR1's most successful investments so far. Revenues from staking Atom. The company's strategy to stake their Cosmos token, Atom, has produced a significant monthly staking yield, reportedly recognized in revenue of $116,788, over the 3.5-month period following Cosmos launch on March 14, 2019. As previously reported, Cosmos Network claims to function as the Internet of Blockchains, working as a mediator between different blockchain networks. Cosmos reportedly became the first in a series of proof-of-stake (PoS) chains developed by California-based startup Tendermint. In the announcement, KR1 CEO expressed confidence about PoS blockchains including blockchain interoperability protocol Polkadot and Dfinity, noting that such projects will generate healthy cash flows. As such, KR1 is reportedly getting involved with Commonwealth Labs, a startup building a system for anyone to participate in the governance of decentralized networks, and Edgeware, which are reportedly building on Polkadot. On September 26, major crypto exchange Binance launched a dedicated staking platform, allowing users to earn staking rewards by depositing their token holdings. Fintech startup Rapyd raises $100 million for cloud-based payment platform. Fintech as a service startup Rapyd has raised $100 million in a funding round led by venture and growth equity investments firm OakHC, FT. Per an October 1 press release, Rapyd secured $100 million from investors such as OakHC, FT, investment companies Tiger Global, Co2, venture capital firms General Catalyst, Target Global, and Entra Capital, and online payments processor Stripe. Building cloud-based tech payment platform. Rapyd plans to allocate the raised money to the development of a unified cloud-based technology platform designed to enable enterprises to integrate fintech and payment capabilities into commerce applications. The company will also use part of the funds to further build its Rapyd Global Payment Network that gives businesses access to more than 4 billion customers and payment methods, including bank transfers, e-wallets and others. Eric Stillman, co-founder and CEO of Rapyd, noted, "Global commerce is at a critical inflection point as businesses are pressed to launch new applications, process and accept local payment methods, disperse funds, and manage risk and compliance so they can offer highly localized customer experiences without having to build their own infrastructure." Fueling other fintech projects. Just recently, General Catalyst along with venture capital firms Sequoia and Andreessen Horowitz participated in funding of Stripe, during which the company raised another $250 million, which pushed its pre-money valuation to $35 billion. In early September, Stripe launched its lending service Stripe Capital for internet businesses in the United States. Stripe Capital's algorithm reportedly considers hundreds of relevant signals for each business, including payment volume, percentage of repeat customers, payment frequency, and changes in revenue growth. InstaDapDeFi site raises $2.4 million from prominent crypto investors. India-based InstaDap announced Tuesday that it raised $2.4 million to build out its smart wallet. The goal is to help users easily execute advanced transactions through the company's decentralized finance DeFi portal. In the early days of the internet, some of the most valuable properties were portals' websites that gathered information in one place. Now, in the early days of the decentralized web, InstaDap wants to be a window into multiple DeFi services, one that makes it easy to move assets between them. The round was led by Pantera Capital, with a slew of prominent investors including Naval Ravikant, Balaji Srinivasan, Coinbase Ventures, Ideo Colab, Robot Ventures and Kyber Networks LOI Lu. In an email to CoinDesk, InstaDap co-founder Somay Jain said his company's decentralized app, DApp, is an interface to multiple protocols. "For InstaDap, we focused on building up a layer that acts as a mediator between the user interface and underlying protocols," Jain said. "This layer, consisting of our smart wallet, bridges contracts and reserve pools, and abstracts away lots of complexities." InstaDap currently provides interfaces for Compound, Uniswap and MakerDAO. As of this writing, InstaDap is the fourth largest dApp in DeFi, according to DeFi Pulse, with $30.8 million worth of assets locked in its smart contracts, up from only $4.2 million in early July. InstaDap is a very talented team out of India looking to make decentralized finance more accessible, Balaji Srinivasan, formerly of Coinbase and Earn.com, wrote in a blog post shared with CoinDesk prior to publication. "India is actually our second biggest source traffic after America, despite the fact that the central bank has restricted financial institutions from facilitating crypto transactions," Somay wrote. "The movement might be slowed down, but it cannot be stopped." Notably, InstaDap's Jain is 21 years old, fellow co-founder Samyak Jain is 19. Nevertheless, they have pivoted their lives to crypto, writing in a blog post shared with CoinDesk that they have dropped out of school to become full on native DeFi. They wrote, "We realized that the traditional finance systems we were studying in school were slow to innovate, extremely restrictive, tightly controlled by financial giants and bound by geographical constraints. With DeFi, though, we realize that we can not only participate, but are also able to innovate globally from day one. South Korean court issues landmark decision on crypto exchange hacking. A Korean crypto exchange, CoinOne, has been ordered to pay compensation for losses resulting from a hack of a customer account. While seen as precedent-setting, the ruling from the Seoul Southern District Court on September 27 found CoinOne only partly responsible and ordered an award far less than the damages the plaintiff had sought. According to an account of the case published in IT Chosen, the customer identified only as Mr. A joined the exchange in April 2017. As of November 2018, his holdings were valued at around 58 million won, $48,300. Most of that was stolen on December 23, and the customer was left with holdings valued at just 5,982 won. Trades that led to the theft were conducted via an IP address in the Netherlands. The customer sued for 58 million won in losses, saying that the exchange should have blocked transactions from overseas and that it should have rejected any transfer request of more than 20 million won. The exchange has not set minimum safeguards, the plaintiff argued, according to the newspaper. CoinOne, which according to CoinMarketCap data is the world's 70th largest exchange by reported volume, countered that it is not required to block foreign IP addresses. In terms of the 20 million won limit, it said that this threshold was only a government policy related to anti-money laundering and not a strict obligation to the customer. The court agreed with most of what the exchange argued. It did not hold CoinOne responsible for the hack itself, and it said that the exchange did not have to police transactions by IP address. It would only have to block an address if it knew beforehand that it was being used for illegal access to an account. But the court did say that the transfer limits need to be followed, as the 20 million won cap was set not only to prevent money laundering but also to protect customers from exchange failures. The court also determined that it is reasonable for customers to expect the limits to be in place and enforced. The plaintiff was awarded 25 million won. It is a mistake for the exchange to fail to meet the daily withdrawal limit, it chose and quoted the court as saying. While the customer only received partial compensation, the Korean press reports that the award is a first and that the decision suggests that exchanges can now be held responsible for some losses. Ethereum name service auction exploited to grab Apple domain and it can't be undone. The Apple.eth domain has been grabbed with no way to get it back, thanks to an exploit of an auction by the Ethereum Naming Service (ENS), a domain registration service for the Ethereum network. The auction kicked off on September 1 and was run by digital collectibles marketplace OpenSea, which disclosed the exploit Monday and published an update on the issue today. Taking full responsibility for the bug, OpenSea said 17 names in total were taken by the hacker, including other notable ones such as DeFi.eth, Wallet.eth, and Pay.eth. The bug in the auction software had distributed ENS domains to participants who did not hold the highest bid, according to the post. Further, OpenSea stated, one user discovered an input validation vulnerability that allowed them to place bids on a name that actually issued a different name. Further issues with the auction process affected some 30 domain names like bitmex.eth or hodls.eth, with bids incorrectly processed. None of these domains were involved in the exploit, however. An alternative web standard to the Internet Domain Service, DNS, ENS operates on the Ethereum blockchain. Unlike DNS, domain names cannot be forcibly retrieved once allocated to a party, thanks to the immutability of the ledger the information is stored on. OpenSea explained, a blessing and a curse of blockchain-based digital assets is that once they have been distributed, it is impossible for them to be revoked. We can't redo the auctions for the names that were sold in an invalid fashion. As such, the firm has asked for the domain names to be returned so they can be re-auctioned. A reward of 25% of the final auction price plus the original bid will be given to the hacker, the blog states. Apple.eth and the 16 other hacked domains have been blacklisted by OpenSea. ENS is considering blacklisting the names as well. ENS did not respond to questions from CoinDesk by press time. Trading volume for backed Bitcoin futures hit just $5 million in first week. The Intercontinental Exchange's highly anticipated Bitcoin futures contract mustered just $5 million of total trading, and its daily product traded fewer than five contracts across its first week. According to the exchange's backed division, set up last year by the Atlanta-based company as a new marketplace for digital assets, some 623 monthly Bitcoin futures contracts changed hands last week. Both the monthly and daily contracts debuted on September 23. Each of BACT's futures contracts represents one Bitcoin, so the total trading volume works out to just over $5 million, based on the current price of $8,322. By comparison, some 4,099 Bitcoin futures contracts traded on Friday alone at rival Chicago-based exchange operator CME, whose market opened in 2017. And the CME's futures contracts represent 5 bitcoins, for a trading volume of $165 million on the single day. BACT's daily futures contracts fared even more poorly, with fewer than 5 contracts trading throughout the first week. Executives at BACT had touted the new contract as a milestone for the cryptocurrency industry, catering to big institutional investors that have thus far been slow to buy Bitcoin and other digital assets. According to the exchange, the new offering should appeal to institutional investors like hedge funds and other money managers because Bitcoin must be delivered to fulfill the contract's terms when the maturity date arrives. That feature has been touted as a key advantage for asset owners who want to hedge their portfolios, in contrast with the CME's contract, which is settled via cash payments but has become popular with individual investors. Dave Weisberger, CEO of CoinRoots, a New York-based company that helps investors route cryptocurrency trades to various exchanges, says that Bitcoin investors currently in the market already have plenty of places to buy and sell, but it's too early to write off BACT's new push, he said in a phone interview. It takes time for people to move from one place to another, unless there's a cost reason or a liquidity reason, Weisberger, a veteran of Wall Street firms Citigroup and Morgan Stanley, said in a telephone interview, adding, "These things tend to develop slowly." Damon Leavell, a spokesman for Intercontinental Exchange, said in an email that there was strong industry participation during the first week of the new Bitcoin contract. The contract maturing in October, he said, had the tightest bid-offer spreads in the market, which was an exciting achievement. Wall Street analysts look at the so-called bid-ask spread, the gap between what buyers are offering to pay and what sellers are offering to accept, as a gauge of how efficiently a market is operating. Crypto escrow firm chief charged over alleged $7 million fraud. The head of a Bitcoin escrow service faces decades behind bars if found guilty on charges of Bitcoin-related fraud. According to U.S. Attorney's Office of the Southern District of New York, John Barry Thompson of Volantis Market Maker is accused of committing two counts each of commodities and wire fraud for false claims concerning the acquisition and sale of $7 million worth of Bitcoin. The U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission also leveled civil charges against Thompson on Monday. In a complaint filed earlier this summer, a grand jury alleged that Thompson defrauded two companies out of funds intended for Bitcoin purchases in 2018. At the time, Bitcoin traded for just under $8,000 per coin, according to Statista. Thompson is said to have told both firms that Volantis was filed as a limited liability company in the state of Delaware, although no record exists of its registration. Volantis operated mainly out of Pennsylvania, according to the complaint. One of the fraudulent transactions is claimed to have occurred in June and July 2018, with Company One giving Thompson $3 million to facilitate tranches of Bitcoin purchases. As described in the complaint, Company One was an over-the-counter OTC trade desk. The complaint states Thompson sent the funds to a third-party escrow service which never purchased the Bitcoin promised or returned the funds. Thompson repeatedly lied to Company One on the state of the transaction and where the Bitcoin resided, saying cash is with me, coin is with me. Thompson further claimed there is no risk of default since Volantis controlled both sides of the transaction. Company One neither received the Bitcoin promised nor had its $3 million returned, according to attorney's office. A similar story had played out earlier that year, with Company Two, an Irish investment firm named Symphony. In March 2018, Thompson entered into a contract with Symphony as a facilitator in a $4 million Bitcoin purchase. Thompson used an undisclosed third party to facilitate the transactions, to whom he gave the capital without receiving Bitcoins in return. As with Company One, the deal with Symphony came to a close in July 2018 with Symphony out of pocket and having received no Bitcoin. Under the state of Pennsylvania's current commodities and wire fraud laws, Thompson could face up to 60 years in prison for all four counts. Manhattan U.S. Attorney Jeffrey S. Berman said, "As alleged, John Barry Thompson repeatedly lied to investors in cryptocurrencies about the safety of their investments made through his companies. As a result of Thompson's lies, investors lost millions of dollars." UK police auction off $294,000 in stolen crypto from Aetha Delta hack. UK police auctioned off more than $294,000 of cryptocurrency confiscated from the teenage hacker of Aetha Delta and TokTok. The Eastern Region Special Operations Unit (ERSOU) worked with Wilson's Auctions to sell the digital assets, including Bitcoin, Ripple and Ethereum, in what is said to be the unit's first such auction. Asset recovery in a digital world has evolved, so it's really important that, working alongside commercial partners, we have a clear process for the storage and sale of cryptocurrency, Detective Chief Inspector Martin Peters said in a statement. The department hired an asset management and realization contractor to vet the bidders to ensure that the assets are not able to make their way back into crime, according to the statement. Teen hacker. Police seized the funds from 19-year-old Elliot Gunton in 2018, following a routine check of his computer related to his sentence for hacking into the telecommunications giant TokTok, in 2015. During the inspection, it was found that Gunton held stores of stolen personal information from Aetha Delta customers, which he advertised for sale online for $3,000, paid in crypto. At the time, Gunton's illicit holdings were valued at $337,000. The auction comes days after Gutman was sentenced at Norwich Crown Court to 20 months in prison after pleading guilty to these crimes, which include conspiracy to commit computer and wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. He was also ordered to repay approximately $509,000. In the indictment, it's shown that Gutman worked with U.S. National Anthony Nashotka to breach the exchange and withdraw cryptocurrency from hundreds of Aetha Delta accounts. Throughout the conspiracy, the two operated under the aliases Planet and Psycho. Crypto Caper. The scheme took place over 7 days in December 2017 and comprised several steps. On December 13, 2017, Nashotka purchased identifying information regarding an unnamed person in the indictment, ZC, thought to be Zachary Coburn, Aetha Delta's CEO. The following day, the two then rerouted ZC's cell phone and email addresses to accounts under their control. Using this information, Nashotka and Gunton gained unauthorized access to Aetha Delta's Cloudflare account, disabled the website and spun up a proxy site. Whenever an Aetha Delta client logged in, their accounts, wallets and private keys were visible to the two defendants. While the total number of victims and the amount of stolen funds remains unknown, one victim reportedly lost approximately $800,000. For his role in the scheme, Nashotka faces a maximum prison sentence of 20 years and maximum fines up to $250,000. His federal court appearance is scheduled for October 10 in San Francisco. Gunton's parents previously pleaded guilty to transferring criminal property for attempting to transfer cryptocurrencies out of a seized Bitcoin wallet. They are due to be sentenced next Wednesday at Norwich Crown Court. Stripe-backed payments firm raises $100 million to compete against stablecoins. Stripe-backed digital payments platform Rapid raised $100 million in a Series C funding round to face off against the arrival of stablecoins. The VCs behind the platform are pushing the pace with the funding round, after Rapid raised a $40 million Series B in February. General Catalyst and Tiger Global, which both backed $35 billion valued Stripe, participated in the B and C rounds, with the Series C including Coatue and Entra Capital and led by Oak HC, FT, a private equity fund with $1.9 billion AUM. A spokesman said the raise brings Rapid near unicorn territory but was unable to cite its specific valuation. The Series B round reportedly valued the Israeli company at $300 million. In a statement, Eric Shtillman, Rapid co-founder and CEO, said, as more than half of all transactions worldwide are facilitated via bank transfers and cash, merchants find it increasingly difficult to digitally enable local payment methods and process cross-border sales that are required for international expansion. A company spokesman told CoinDesk, this is a major challenge for global expansion, as local consumers around the world are unable to transact with foreign retailers, and businesses can't pay employees in key local markets. It may be hard to grasp from a U.S. perspective, but consider that Brazil has certain payment methods that work only within the country, and not beyond its borders. In India, consumers still use cash as the primary method of payment due to a lack of trust that goods or services will be delivered. The friction and national regulation are the barriers to entry to new direct competitors in the payments space, but also why stablecoins and other crypto solutions pose a threat. Rapid sells a global fintech as a service platform with the ability to accept cash, bank transfers, e-wallets, and local debit card payments in over 100 countries. Notably, it does not do crypto. Direct competition is beginning with IBM working on the Stellar blockchain, where stablecoins can substitute any local fiat currencies to be processed in cross-border payments. Meanwhile, central banks and crypto exchanges pile onto Libra and plot their own stablecoins. The legacy solution has been on-the-ground partnerships in emerging markets to connect domestic money transfer systems to global markets. Doing so requires physical companies and interactions with regulators in all of its base markets plus partners everywhere else. Rapid is a trading name of its original brand Cash-UK Limited, regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. In the US, Rapid is registered with the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, and provides fintech banking services via Evolve Bank and Trust. In the EU and in Mexico, it has an e-money license issued by the federal authorities. In Singapore, Rapid is the holder of a Stored Value Facility (SVF) as administered by the Monetary Authority of Singapore (MAS). The company points to a market of 2.3 billion people who transact without credit cards, which would also impede access to other channels to process international payments. But those are the same unbanked targeted by Libra and other stablecoins designed by consumer brands for mass adoption. Ethereum scaling project Scale raises $17.1 million for mainnet launch. Scale Network, a blockchain scalability platform, has raised $17.1 million to launch its mainnet. The firm says it could be Ethereum's best shot to beat other smart contract platforms. The investment consists of a $10 million contribution from Scale Labs and $7 million in a recent financing, Scale Labs CEO Jack O'Halloran told CoinDesk, noting the numbers are not final due to ongoing accounting adjustments and asset transfers. 19 investors participated in the recent financing, including Arrington XRP Capital, Blockchange, Consensus Labs, Hashed, Hashkey, Multicoin Capital, Recruit Holdings and Winklevoss Capital, bringing the total number of backers of the project to over 40, according to O'Halloran. The contribution from the San Francisco-based Scale Labs largely comes from its previous financing through a $10 million simple agreement for future tokens (SAFT) sale, including an $8.68 million funding round led by Multicoin Capital and $785,000 from earlier investors last year. Scale has grown tremendously over the past year in almost every aspect, Kyle Samani, managing partner of Multicoin Capital, told CoinDesk via email, adding, there's a lot to like, and we've been impressed by their ability to set strategy, design spec, and execute. The product is also clearly hitting a nerve. I expect a majority of the smart contracts in the Ethereum ecosystem to eventually leverage Scale. The funding will be used to seed and stabilize Scale's proof-of-stake network and increase its security, as well as adding more people to the 20-person engineering team, O'Halloran said. After a token sale last October, Scale Labs launched a testnet in late 2018 and established the Node Foundation in April 2019. Node is similar to the nonprofit Ethereum Foundation in that both organizations promote the use of their respective networks. Smart contract competition. Scale is the latest attempt at boosting the scalability of the Ethereum blockchain. The network says it will enable dApps to conduct millions of transactions per second at a fraction of the cost of what's possible today, according to a statement from Scale Labs. O'Halloran added in a statement, "Helping Ethereum dApp developers scale applications is the center of what we do. The network aims to help the developers by providing a Layer 2 platform with high speeds, fast finality and low costs," Scale Labs said. Gaming and decentralized finance (DeFi) applications are where Scale hopes to move the needle, O'Halloran said. A lot of games not only want to have a blockchain to support payments within the system but also have NFTs, non-fungible tokens, the part of the game that lives on the blockchain, he said. Blockchain investors of late have seemed to be bullish on the gaming use case. In September, South African firm Naspers Ventures led a $15 million Series A funding round in Immutable Games, the maker of Gods Unchained. 2 months earlier, Initialized Capital, Coinbase Ventures and Polychain Capital invested $3.75 million in Horizon Games, a blockchain-based game studio with a Hearthstone competitor called Skyweaver. O'Halloran said Scale currently has 23 different dApps on the platform. The full list of gaming companies that partner with Scale will be released at the beginning of November, he said. Hashed, as one of the network's major investors, was chosen for its strategic value in the South Korean gaming market, O'Halloran said, adding, "I think the Korean market is really adopting compared to the rest of the world. I think it is going to be the first place we see significant traction." Crypto token HBAR is tanking and Hedera Hashgraph is looking for a fix. In a little over 2 weeks, Hedera Hashgraph's HBAR cryptocurrency has dipped from a high of 36 cents to around 3 cents as of press time. The blockchain-like network's CEO now says he will re-evaluate the token's economic model and potentially change HBAR's distribution schedule to give the company time to reassess. "We are thrilled with the technical performance of our platform," Hedera Hashgraph wrote in an amendment that was shared in the network's Telegram channel on Monday. "We also believe that there may be an opportunity to make improvements to Hedera's coin model." CEO and co-founder Mance Harmon did note in a blog post last week that 2.2 million transactions had run over the network in its first week, with network usage around 3 or 4 transactions per second and transactions settling in around 2 to 3 seconds. Hedera refused to comment for this story, saying the company does not speculate on HBAR prices. However, Hedera noted in its post that the startup is working with Harvard-trained economists from consulting firm Prism Group to re-evaluate the HBAR economic model. The goal, to see if it has the right incentives for developers to develop on the network. SAFT slowdown. In Hedera's most recent proposal for amending the distribution model for simple agreements for future tokens (SAFT) participants, Hedera has suggested that the subsequent SAFT distributions be quarterly rather than monthly, meaning that SAFT 1 and 2 holders would get their next distribution on December 22 rather than October 22. The proposal requires agreement between Hedera and the people holding a majority of the purchase amount for that SAFT series. Harmon wrote in the proposal, "Although we're very pleased with the volume of early network activity, it may be premature to release the next distribution of SAFT 1 and SAFT 2 coins within a month of the last one before we receive the results of the Prism Group's review. So, the objective of the third proposed amendment is to extend Hedera's discretion to allow for quarterly coin releases." Hedera raised money for the project at a time when altcoins were riding a high speculative wave out of 2017, said Eric Wall, the former blockchain lead at Nasdaq-owned fintech vendor Cinnober. While Hedera has put together a high-profile governing council including IBM, Boeing, Deutsche Telekom, Tata, Nomura and bank tech vendor FIS, it has yet to demonstrate high-profile use cases for HBAR, Wall said. "Now that HBAR is open for retail exchange, creating retail demand will be crucial for Hedera. As more HBAR are released, it will increase selling pressure on HBAR," Wall said. "For the price to support sell pressure, something needs to attract investors and speculators in this market because that supply is going to shock the system. Wall added that the drop in HBAR price looks somewhat like the initial launch of Zcash, which surged to more than $2 million on its first day in October 2016 and fell below $50 in December. On the first day Zcash launched, it went from roughly 3,300 BTC at the time to 48 BTC. Altcoins overall have dropped by around 50% in the past year, according to the Midcap Bitwise Index, while HBAR has decreased around 75% since its last SAFT sale in August 2018, valued the coin at 12 cents. Hedera ISNT, the only altcoin network that's adjusting its model either. Stellar just recently decided to eliminate inflation from its protocol. Finding alignment. It's not unusual for altcoins to be undervalued or overvalued, and HBAR is undergoing an aggressive price discovery price, Wall added. Hedera's governing council has also created a growth committee to look over funds set aside for incentive programs to accelerate adoption, and Hedera is scheduling one-on-one calls with stakeholders to educate them on the company's efforts. While the value of the network will be driven by the applications that developers continue to bring to market on top of it, we were responsible for the creation of both the network and the economic model to catalyze that development, Harmon wrote, adding, "If we find mistakes in either, it is our responsibility to fix them. We are committed to doing what it takes to make sure the model is properly aligned to foster widespread developer and user adoption of the platform, and to demonstrating that we deserve the trust you placed in us to get that right." Hashgraph participants should not read too much into randomness, said Steve Wilson, a principal analyst at emerging technologies advisory firm Constellation Research. "I am not excited about cryptocurrency movements, especially in the very early days," Wilson told CoinDesk in an email. "These systems are highly non-linear and highly sensitive. Look at good old Bitcoin, it has never settled into any repeatable or predictable pattern." This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.